This is Air Talk. I'm Larry Mantle. It was 19 years ago tomorrow. The 12 jurors rendered their verdicts in the controversial case involving the 1991 beating of Rodney King by four LAPD officers, and it didn't take long for trouble to start. Here's how it sounded on CBS station KNX.
We mentioned possible trouble linked to the verdicts. KNX chopper pilot Bob Turr is flying above South Central LA and reports live. Bob?
Well, the worst is starting to happen. I have to tell you, Tom's Liquor Store here in Florence Western is in the process of being looted. People rushing inside the store, coming back out with cases and cases of liquor, also other types of things.
The emotional toll it took on Southern California was enormous, as some of these residents who witnessed trouble in their communities recounted to NPR reporters.
It's like a living hell. It's a war zone. I've never seen anything like this before in my life. Never.
Scary. It's real scary, you know, because all the lights just go out, and next thing you know, you hear boom, 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 and fires everywhere. Next thing you know, your house might be on fire.
They're going crazy. Everybody's going crazy right now. The gangs, the black gangs, the white gangs, the Korean gangs. Anybody could drive up right now and just shoot us just for the hell of it.
The 4 days of violence led to more than 50 deaths, over 4,000 people injured, 12,000 arrested, and about $1 billion in property damage from the more than 100 fires that started in South Los Angeles and other parts of the city. Well, a number of the members of our KPCC news team were deeply involved in that coverage. I was on the air late into the night here at KPCC, and we were on the air almost continuously with updated news coverage between ourselves and National Public Radio of what was going on. Nick Roman, who's our managing editor here at KPCC, was news director at KLON, now known as KJAZZ, in Long Beach. And Nick, you supervised the news staff. You were on the air all the time with this.
Yeah, we had a pretty good news staff back in those days. I mean, the names are familiar. Kitty Feldy was with us, Frank Stoltz, and Deborah Baer. Deborah and I split up anchoring duties. She would do the morning into the early afternoon, and then I would handle the afternoon all the way into the evening. On that first night in particular, the first call I got was from Kitty Feldy, because we had sent her up to Simi Valley to cover the
verdict.
Well, we didn't know that the verdicts were coming down. We'd been trading off with the Associated Press on some coverage. And Kitty happened to be up there on that day. We knew that the verdicts were coming soon, but we didn't know when exactly. And so when they came down, she called me and said, the verdicts are in. I think there could be some trouble. And then I happened to be home that day because I was going to work the afternoon. And you know, it was a wild 4 days after that.
Cheryl Duvall, who works in all of managing our editorial here at KPCC, was in Chicago working for NPR at the time. Cheryl, you flew out to Los Angeles to do coverage of the riots?
Yes. NPR does have a Los Angeles bureau, did at the time, but it became clear the Wednesday night that the trouble began right after, or hours after the verdicts came down, that this might turn into something big. So when I got to work the next morning, Thursday morning, the first thing I heard was an editor saying, just get out there. And I spent all of Thursday getting to Los Angeles, and eventually spent the whole summer out here. It was a presidential election year. I figured that what had happened in Los Angeles was going to factor into whatever the presidential candidates, Bill Clinton and George H.W. Bush, were going to be talking about, even though that didn't turn out to be the case. I also wanted to try and figure out why. I'm a native Southern Californian, and this was a very shocking event.
And took a tremendous emotional toll, I think, on all of us covering it, who loved this city and saw the horrific images or were there firsthand to see these things happening. And Cheryl, you know, speak to that. As someone who was from here, you come back to your hometown and you see the discord, the violence, the destruction. What was that like for you as a professional trying to cover it?
Well, I remember that NPR put us up in Santa Monica, I mean, in a lovely then apartment hotel called the Shangri-La. I believe it's been upgraded into something even nicer now. So there was Ocean Avenue, and the Bureau at that time was about as far west in Los Angeles as you could get without being in Santa Monica, 12200 West Olympic. I knew from Crenshaw, even though I grew up in San Diego, when we'd come up to L.A. to visit my parents' friends, Crenshaw Boulevard would be our touchstone.
Sure.
And so I knew it from childhood. I knew that that's where a lot of people had settled. And I would go back and forth between far west L.A., where after a couple of days of curfews and gas rationing and a real sense of fear, things began to loosen up. I would go from there back to the hood. That happens to be the part of town where I live now. I chose to move to, and I returned to Los Angeles for good.
Yeah, and it was one whole other world, yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Everybody, you know, in Santa Monica, and I painted with a very broad brush, everybody was back to having brunch on Sunday and having a nice day. And I remember turning one day, taking that left from Ocean Avenue onto Wilshire to head back east towards South Los Angeles. And I had to pull over and cry. The cognitive dissonance was such, and this was maybe a week and a half, 2 weeks into it. And, you know, eventually I, you know, got a short-term rental apartment much closer to the site of the story that I was covering. But the cognitive dissonance was such that I was just trying to reconcile in my head.
The totally different worlds.
The totally different worlds.
You were moving between senior news editor for KPCC, Cheryl Duvall, talking about the coverage she was doing for NPR, what was happening in Los Angeles 19 years ago tomorrow. The Los Angeles riots started after the acquittal of those four police officers in their trial in Simi Valley. Also with us, Frank Stoltz, as we heard from managing editor KPCC, Nick Roman. Frank actually went out there into the community to cover this going on. Frank, were you fearful for your own personal safety? Because some reporters had been hassled.
I probably should have been more fearful for my safety than I was. I'd only been living in the city for a little over a year, and I don't think fully appreciated some of the racial animosity that existed. I remember being on one street where there was a lot of looting, and this very kind African-American woman told me in no uncertain terms that I should get the hell out of there. I was going to get myself hurt. I was lucky. I did not get hurt. I was in a lot of the areas that were very violent, a lot of fires. I had heard gunshots. I didn't see anybody shooting. I did see police towing a vehicle where they had just left a man who had been shot in the driver's seat. They had draped him with a sheet, but they didn't have time to stop and investigate his murder, and that's how it was. There were 50 or 60 murders over that 3 or 4 day period, and they just didn't have time to stop and investigate each. They would just, in this case, tow the car to a police station and start the investigation there. I became more afraid as the days wore on, but you know, there's so much adrenaline is flowing. You're just filing reports, and I want to mention, Larry, it was the first time I ever used a cell phone. Nick issued me the one cell phone, which was this giant thing, of course, and it kept running out of juice. So most of the time, I ended up running from payphone to payphone in South L.A. calling in reports.
Frank Stoltz, KPCC reporter, who was on the streets covering from the very first there of the Los Angeles riots 19 years ago. And you heard Nick also talk about KPCC's Washington correspondent Kitty Feldy, who had been covering off and on the trial in Simi Valley. So, Kitty, you got one of the earliest inklings, though, that there were going to be problems because you walked out of the courtroom. What did you see?
Well, you know, let me back up. I was in that courtroom every single day. This is where our memories all seem to get mixed up here. The minute that the verdicts came down, we were waiting for days for the verdicts, and people kept gathering in the parking lot out in Simi Valley. So after the verdicts were announced, again, I went out to the parking lot just to get some reaction, and people were having arguments and fist fights in Simi Valley. And that was when I called Nick, and I said, this is just ugly. This is just going to get worse. People are so upset, and certainly almost at that very...
I think we lost a phone there.
Well,
with
I can
Kate.
Tell you.
Did
I
you
mean,
punish her for that, saying, no, no, you disagreed?
Well, I know she wasn't up there every day because I didn't have enough money to put somebody up there every day. but the tone of her call was what shook me. And I thought, oh, man, now what am I going to do?
Yeah.
And what Frank didn't tell you, and I remember very clearly, is Frank and me standing in front of a TV set and Frank saying, you know, I got to go out there. And I said, I'm not in the business of getting my reporters hurt. And he said, I'll be okay. He promised me. And I was frightened that whole night because I had heard stories about Pete Demetrio, who is now at KNX, used to be at KFWB. He had been hassled a bit, a story somewhat similar to what Frank experienced. Bob Brill from the UPI had been beaten up and had his equipment stolen while he was trying to call in a story from a phone booth. So, and my own reporter, another fellow named Greg Lamphere, who was working for me at the time, who I'd sent to the First AME Church. If you remember, Larry, there was supposed to be sort of a calm down mm-hmm. meeting that night. Greg's tall guy, probably 6'4", 6'5", you know, flat top, looks like a cop, really nice guy, stepped out of his car. People started to rush him and throw rocks. He jumped back in his car and called me in a panic from a payphone. And said, what do I do? Well, I pulled out a Thomas guide, and I guided him all the way back to his house and said, you know, drive 5 blocks this way, stop, find a payphone, and call me. And then I put a lot of that stuff up on the air. But it was frightening, and I don't want the reporters to be the core of the story, but it was very different because you sort of go into these things thinking, we're safe. And in this instance, we were not safe, and I'm not sure anybody was safe.
Nick Roman with us. He was news director at KLON, now KJAZZ in Long Beach, our managing editor here at KPCC. Senior news editor Cheryl Duvall with us, and KPCC reporters Frank Stoltz and Kitty Feldy. Kitty's in Washington, D.C., where she's our correspondent. I think we have her back on the line. So you really got an inkling of what was coming down, Kitty. And so, you know, with this verdict that was rendered in Simi Valley, where did you go next?
Well, there was actually a fight between Frank and myself over that cell phone. And as he said, there was only one, and it weighed about 25 pounds, and it was about the size of a shoebox. And Nick made the decision to give it to Frank, which meant he could go places and call in places that Nick just didn't feel comfortable sending me. Now, I'm sorry, I'm as tough as nails, but he just wouldn't let me do this. So I got stuck doing most of the press conferences, and I can remember one in particular, and this was, you know, about the time that Rodney King made his famous Can't We All Just Get Along speech. The mayor at the time, Tom Bradley, was doing everything he could. He showed up at that AME meeting that Nick described as well, trying to calm the city, trying to find some kind of central point, trying to assert authority. And he had this press conference at the top of what was then the Transamerica building. And, you know, all the officials were up there. And the strangest thing was the city was shrouded in smoke, and one by one, reporters peeled off from this official, we're going to get through this press conference, to just look out the window, because you could see from Hollywood to South LA to Pasadena, this whole swath of fires breaking out right before our eyes, and people just pretty much abandoned that press conference to go back and cover things out in the field. It was just the sense, you know, for those of us who were born and raised in Los Angeles, the Watts riots happened on a birthday that I had when I was a little kid. Those images are seared in you forever, and you keep asking the same questions. How did this happen so quickly, and what can we do to make sure it never happens again?
Kitty Feldy with us from Washington. Like you, Kitty, I was a little kid when the riots of the 60s happened, and we were living in Southwest L.A., close to where you live, and we evacuated the apartment building that we lived in, went inland to the house where my mom's boss lived, and got out of the area. I didn't have anywhere near as much exposure. I was 6 years old at the time, and then this is so seared in me, and I have to say this is the most painful experience that I've had in my now close to 30 years in news, mm-hmm. dealing with the riots, the emotional fallout for me, because I love this city like you. I'm a native, and it's very, very hard to see this happen to our community and to just emotionally process it. Very, very difficult.
Well, and to talk about Reconstruction, and I think the most searing image to me of the riots actually was in the days thereafter, when people started showing up in neighborhoods that they had never, ever been in before with brooms in their hand, wanting to do something to try to bring the city back together, wanting to help clean up, wanting to show that they really wanted to reach out to feel that the city could be united once again. And those are the images I still carry with me today.
All right. Nick Roman, quick closing thought from you.
Well, you know, you don't ever want to go through an experience like that. Again, it did change the way that I approached all of our kind of coverage in it, and it led us to covering stories that we'd never looked at before. I would encourage people to go to the Marketplace website and look at what Cheryl Duvall did for Marketplace on the 10th anniversary of the riots, because she went in and looked at things up and down, and we'll try and do that again. When we get to the 20th, you know, you sort of hit those touchstone points. We'll do a lot more coverage, and I'll dig out some of those old cassettes.
Yeah, I'd like to hear
them somewhere.
Okay, we'll look forward to that. Nick Roman, Cheryl Duvall, Frank Stoltz, and Kitty Feldy reminiscing about what was a very difficult time, not just professionally, but just personally, as it was for those of you that were here then, 19 years ago tomorrow, the Los Angeles riots, something that I think for many of us we're still trying to process today. Share your thoughts about it on the AirTalk page as we look back at kpcc.org.